Blog Talk Radio.
Well, it's Wednesday Inspirational Bible Study, and I'm your host, Diane Adams. So glad to be with you tonight, and I hope that everyone had a wonderful week, and everything that you wanted to accomplish or receive, you know, it was fulfilled. I would always give thanks to God for allowing us to come together one more time on Wednesday night. God saw fit that we are able to come together. And because of that, I'm grateful. I'm also grateful to each and every one of you that take time out of your busy schedule week after week to come and we explore the Word of God together. You know, God is truly in the plan, because if he wasn't, it wouldn't have lasted this long. This week, last week, made 3 years on a Blog Talk radio station, and for that I am grateful, and I'm also grateful to each and every one of you, because if it wasn't for you, there would be no program, and I thank you. Tonight, our lesson is going to be Keep Your Eyes on Jesus. I hope that everyone read the 14th chapter of Matthew's, because even though our scriptures is going to come from the 22nd through the 36th verse, you could see what Jesus was doing when he got up to this verse. It's always good to read above and also below verses that's going to be expounded upon, so that you could really get in a place and you could understand what was going on. Our scripture is coming from Matthew's, the 14th chapter and the 22nd verse, 14th chapter 22nd through 36. It is now time to go to the altar of God in prayer. As always, if someone would like to lead us in prayer, you can press the one button on your phone, and I'll open the mic, and you could pray across the airwaves, and everyone will be able to hear you. I also would like callers who are just calling in, or someone that may be listening on the internet, that if you would like to say something, you know, you could press the call-in number and press the one button, and that's the way you'll be able to speak. So no one pressed the one button for the prayer, so we're going to go ahead on to the throne of grace. Because, you know, God's saying everything you do, do it through prayer and supplication, and always come to God before anything is done. So let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just want to say thank you. Thank you, dear God, for allowing us another chance to come together. Lord, I thank you for your mercy, and I thank you for your grace. I thank you for your healing hand. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for allowing us to continue in the Word of God, because your Word said that we have to study to show ourselves approved, that we could truly know you, dear God, for who you truly is. You know, God, I just want to know you, and I want to feel your presence. And, Lord, I know that you hear me. I know that you say you'll never leave us or forsake us, and I believe it, dear God. Heavenly Father, I'm asking that you look down upon every person that is listening on this phone tonight. Bless those who listen in the past and those who have a desire to listen and never got around to do it, and bless those who don't even know about it. Lord, bless them in the blessings that they need. And Lord, some people are coming to you for health. Some are coming for you for financial blessings. Some are coming because they're dealing with issues with their children. Some are coming because their family has turned their back on them. Some of them are coming because they don't know which way to go. Some of them may be in a broken relationship, dear God, and it's weighing heavily on them, dear God. Some may be coming because they need a job, dear God. Some are coming because they have some material needs. They want to buy a home, dear God. Some people may need transportation. Dear God, I don't know, but I know you know. And Lord, I'm asking you to bless them with the blessing that they're in need of. Heavenly Father, I'm asking that you look down upon our prayer list, dear God. We have Cynthia Sanders, and we have Elise Ort, dear God, and we have Diane McBride, her two sons and her grandson, dear God. We have Barbara Hawkins, dear God, and it may be some other names that I'm not thinking about right now, dear God, but you know that we are lifting these people up in prayer. Look down upon Jeanette Clark, dear God, and she's have a patient, dear God. Look down upon that patient, dear God. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, look down upon our youth. Look down upon our elderly. Look down upon the prisons, dear God. Go into the prison wall where all the sons and the daughters of someone is being in bondage, dear God. Let them know that you are there with them even in the midst of that storm. Heavenly Father, look down upon our city, dear God, and look down upon our youth. Visit the school, dear God, and give our children an opportunity to open up their ears that they can learn and be productive, dear God. Look down upon us, dear God, because you said for people will call by your name, would humble themselves and pray, you would heal the land. Lord, we can't make it without you. We live in this wicked world, and people are doing anything that seems right in their own eyes. And you are constantly turning them over to a reprobate mind. So that lets us know, dear God, it's not going to get no better before it get worse. Heavenly Father, but if we live in this world and not be of this world, you say we can make it because you got us. You got us in the palm of your hand, and a devil in hell cannot snatch us. So, Lord, we're going to lean and depend on you, the author and the finisher of our faith, our only refuge in a time of storm, the great I am, hallelujah, the wheel in the middle of a wheel, the great and bright morning star. You're all that and much more, dear God. Allow your Holy Spirit to teach us the things of God that we could be steadfast and unmovable and always abounding in a word of truth that can get us to what we need to do, Lord. We can't make it without you. Bless our children and our grandchildren, our neighbors, dear God. Hallelujah. Lord, we need a blessing. We need a blessing in this sin-sick, evil world. We need a blessing. There's turmoil on every side, dear God. We don't even know the direction of going sometimes, dear God. But you are our Captain, you are the lover of our souls, dear God. And if we hold on to your unchanging hand, we will make it to the end. Because you said a race is not given to the swift, neither to the strong, but those who endure to the end. Teach us, dear God, how to hold on. In Jesus' name, amen, and thank God. Hallelujah. And that's our prayer for tonight. To open up the program, and you know we always pray at the end. I pray that God touch the hearts of one of you guys and you could pray, because I don't know if people get tired of my prayers. I don't know if they do or not, but it would be good, because remember, this is not my Bible study. It is our Bible study. And we're going to go ahead with the program tonight. Right now I'm going to play a song that's appropriate, hallelujah, for the message tonight. Listen to the words in the song, and after we get through with the song, we're going to come back and we're going to explore the word of God together. Be blessed.
Thank you.
Yes, have you made Jesus the captain of your soul? You know, have you allowed the Holy Ghost to be the compass in your life? You know, we're living in trying times, and as the Bible teaches, some people may say the end time, but we know the fact that we don't know when Jesus is coming back. But with all indication, it's looking like time is winding out. So we have to be diligent and sober, because the adversary is seeking whomever he may devour. We have to stay in and hold on to the confession of our state. You know, like the record said, you got to learn how to ride through the storms. God did save you. He did not promise you a rose garden. And adversity is going to come in our lives. But it's not so much what come into our lives, it's how we take it and who we make it with. When you know that God is right there with you, because he said he'll never leave you. Yes, and I do realize that we are human and we have emotions, and humans does what humans do. But the fact is, we have to just get above that and realize if God is with you, who could be against you? If God is for you, who could be against you? God said, and all through his word, I got you. It is never predicated on what you could do. It's always about what God is saying he's going to do for you and in you and through you if you trust him, if you cooperate. And your job is to keep yourself in position to receive what God has in store for you. So I'm going to go ahead on with the lesson because that's a different lesson, but it must always needed to be said, and I hope it helps someone. But the lesson tonight is keep your eyes on Jesus. I'm coming from Matthew's the 14th chapter, the 22nd through the 36th verse. And as always, I start off with a background, giving you some information about the author, the book, the people, or the reason to get a little insight on why God decided to use the different writers, or why did God decide to use different characters. Because, you know, God chose everybody, but he chose it for a design purpose. And he has a design reason for choosing, and that's the same way he's doing with you in your life. You know, the seeds that God wants you to produce the fruit with was placed in you when you was in your mother's womb. God said, I formed you in your mother's womb, and I put all of your inner parts. Why would he put everything in you and not put what he wants to accomplish through you in you? It's all there. It's your responsibility to pull it out. It's your responsibility to seek it out. It's your responsibility to find it out, because God is not short of his word. And the word of God tell you. You see, if we go to Jeremiah 29 and 11, it lets us know that God say, I know the thoughts that I have for you, to give you an expected end. And if God said it, he's going to do it. So our background for the night, our lesson tonight is coming from the book that is called The Gospel According to Matthews. In your Bible, you know, at the top of the book of Matthew, it may say, if those who have their Bible open, if you go to the front of the book, it may say at the top of it, The Gospel According to Matthew. You see, the word gospel means the good news of Jesus Christ. The gospel explains his birth, God incarnated, becoming a man. It has Jesus' teaching, his miracles, his death, his burial, and his resurrection. You see, it gives and promotes the infallible truth, or as a guiding principle for doctrine. It lets us know that Jesus is the Son of God, and by faith in him, we receive grace unto salvation. You know, then the Bible, the Old Testament ended with the book of Malachi, and there was 400 years between Malachi and the New Testament. And when the New Testament opened up, the New Testament opened up with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, this is when Jesus was born, and then, you know, when he started teaching and doing his miracles. So the first four books in the New Testament is called the gospel and the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, this book is known as the Gospel of Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, because it is written by the apostle of the same name. The style of the book is exactly what you would expect of a man who was once a tax collector. Come on now. Jesus met Matthew. Matthew wasn't looking for Jesus, but Jesus went looking for Matthew. And the best thing that Matthew could ever do was when Jesus called him, he didn't ask no questions. He got up, got away from his money making. He got away from his hustle. He got away from all of the cheating and conniving, and he was willing and he became able to turn his life around. You see, that's what Jesus will do you if you answer the call. You see, the tax collectors was despised by the Jews. And remember, Matthews was a Jew. Because the tax collectors were dishonest, first of all, and they collected taxes for the Romans. The Romans were the oppressors of the Jews at that time. The Jews was in Rome, and the Romans had control over them. Because, you know, and by Matthews being a tax collector and collecting tax from his own people and not treating them right, he was despised. You know, they didn't even let the tax collectors go to the synagogues or go to church. You know, they was really despised because they really did dishonest business. You see, tax collectors didn't get paid. So for them to make money, you know, they weighed the money, and they would rig their scales. So, you know, they can make a little bit profit over that. Because who would take a job other than being prestige? Because everybody want to be friends with someone that's in authority that maybe could find favor in them and things like that. But he was a tax collector, and that's what he did. And Jesus came and selected Matthews to be one of his disciples. Okay, you say, well, then why else, why did God choose Matthews? You have to remember that the Bible was written by man, but inspired by God. Now, when you think of God and all of his ultimate wisdom and his knowledge, you know, he's omnipresent, omnipotent, and omniscient, you got to realize that everybody he chose was for a specific, precise reason. You see, when you look at the Word of God and you begin to know God, that's the way you should look at the Word of God. You see, Matthews had a keen interest in accounting. The Gospel of Matthews is very orderly and concise. Rather than write it in chronological order, Matthews arranged this Gospel through six different discussions. As a tax collector, Matthews possesses a skill that makes his writing all the more exciting for the Christian. You see, tax collectors was expected to be able to write in a form of shorthand, which essentially meant that Matthews would record a person's word by word as they spoke. You see, this ability means that the words of Matthews are not only inspired by the Holy Ghost, but should represent an actual transcript of some of Jesus' sermons. Now, how you like God? Look at God. Matthews writes for the Hebrew mind, and we know that Hebrews are Jews. This was a time, his writing came about at a time when most Christians were Jews converted. You see, Jews' religion was Judaism, and they still waiting for the Messiah. But after Jesus came on the scene, many of the Jews converted to Christianity. So when Matthews wrote this book, it was focused on the Jewish perspective in the gospel. You'll see that, and you can understand why. God all had four gospels. And each one of them came to bring a message in a different style that everyone could understand. Some wrote to the Jews, some wrote to the Romans, and some wrote to the Greek. You see what I'm saying? And some had a message that the Gentile could understand it. You got to understand when God wrote the Word of God that he didn't leave anything out, and there's no reason to doubt. If you really get into the Word of God and you see how God did things, which we'll never understand him fully, but you can see the hand of God all over everything. Look for the details. Find them. Receive them. Open up your mind when you read. Matthews tend to prove that to the Jews that Jesus is the promised Messiah. More than any other gospel, the Gospel of Matthews quote the Old Testament to show how Jesus fulfilled the words of the Jewish prophet. So a lot of prophecy is going to be explained and fulfilled in the book of Matthew. Matthew described in detail the linkage of Jesus from David and uses many forms of speech that Jews would be comfortable with. God is concerned about everybody. He ain't left it out. He didn't make it so complicated that you can't understand it. Just keep reading it. I get people tell me all the time, Sister Diane, I can't understand the here, though thou, for art thou. And what should I do? I say, keep reading it. Everybody, when they got into the Word of God, felt the same way. But you keep reading and it start making sense to you. When you start writing it, you know, when you start writing, you be writing ye do thou yourself. Because you understand, like anything you spend time in. Come on now. Matthew's love and concern for his people is apparent through the meticulous approach to telling a gospel story. Remember this. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproach, for correction, for instructions in righteousness. Remember that. And here we go into the lesson. Matthew, the 14th chapter, I'm going to read the 22nd, the 23rd, right now. And those who have your Bible, follow along with me. And straightway Jesus contained his disciples to go into the ship and to go before him into the other side. While he sent the multitude away, and when he had sent the multitude away, he went into the mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, and he was all alone, it's the 22nd and the 23rd verse. Now, when you read that, you know, if for those who read the verse, this happened right after he had miraculously fed the multitude. The disciples was then ordered by Jesus to depart across the Sea of Galilee, go on the other side and wait for him. Jesus did this for two reasons, and probably three. Why did he start these particular chapters, the 22nd through the 36th verse? Jesus did this for two reasons. First, he needed time to be alone with his Father. And second, he would show them his power, even to control the wind and the sea. You got to remember, when you reading the Word of God, and you got to remember that Jesus' ministry was only 3 years. So Jesus had to get here, make himself known, do everything to give you evidence of who he is. He had to show you his power. He had to show you his identity. He had to show you how sovereign he was. He had to show all of these things in that short period of time. So he used every opportunity he had for a purpose, for a reason, and for a season. Yes, he did. He didn't do nothing haphazardly or by chance. See, it was time for them to see his power. And it was important for him to be with his Father. You see, Jesus was continually teaching and giving them the evidence that he is truly the Son of God. Now, Jesus dismissed the crowd, went into the mountain to pray. Seeking solitude was an important priority for Jesus. You see, he made time, even in his busy schedule, to be alone with his Father. Huh. If it was important for Jesus, then what about you? Jesus, the perfect man who sinned not, who came down from heaven, was the Son of God, the incarnated God himself, and yet he took time to be with the Father. You see, And Jesus showed us that he took time to be with the Father because he thought it was necessary. Because, you see, spending time in prayer with God strengthens our relationship with him and equips us to meet life challenges and struggles. You know, we will all face trials, tribulations, storms, adversities. You know, that's going to come in our lives. Because if we look at James, the first chapter, the second and third verse, James, the first chapter, the second and the third verse, this is what James said. And, of course, the book of James is James, who was Jesus' brother. We'll have that on another lesson. But in the book of James, they say, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. James didn't say if you fall. He said, but when you fall. And it's not always about you fall. It's who you get up with and how you take it. We're going to go to the 24th and the 26th verse, and it says, in the 27th, you see, it says, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea. The disciples had left. The ship was in the middle of the sea. Jesus had probably came down from pain and being with his Father. And how would I know that? They say, but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed by the waves, for the winds was contrary. And it was in the fourth watch. See, and I know this because the fourth watch is between 6:03 and 6 a.m., something like that. So he had probably finished talking to the Father, and he went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit, and they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. So now you see, the ship was now in the midst of the sea, and the storm came up, and how you know, because the winds was contrary, it says it in the scripture, and about 3 to 6 a.m. would be the fourth watch hour, as I said before. Jesus came to them walking on waters. You know, by this time, the disciples was exhausted because they had been rowing all night and were afraid, thinking that they were looking at a ghost. Jesus confirmed that it's me, be of good cheer, be not afraid. You see, when we spend time in the Word of God, we can use his words to strengthen us and keep us in good cheer. We know that God, what God said in Deuteronomy 31 and 8, Deuteronomy 31 and 8, and the Lord, he is that doeth go before them. It is the Lord that goes before you. He will be with you. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Fear not, neither be dismayed. God said that way in Deuteronomy. And if he said it in Deuteronomy, he mean it for the day, February the 17th, 2016. Not just for the people of that time, but each and every one of you as well. If God said it, you could believe it. But you got to know the word of God to lean on the word of God. You got to know the word of God to pull strength from the word of God. You see, the word of God is the fuel for your faith. So if I tell you, if you think you got little faith, you might have little fuel. And the reason you got little fuel, because you got little word. It depends on you. You're not reading the word of God for God. God inspired men to write the word of God. God knows the word of God. If you never read another word in the Bible or never study another day in your life, God is still going to be God. He didn't write it for himself. He wrote it for you, and you do what you want with it. You see, God gave us examples to live by when He showed us all through the Bible. You see, when Satan tempted Jesus in the wilderness after he had fought fasted for 40 days, Satan knew that he was weak. And he told through some things that God, that at Jesus trying to get him to eat a piece of bread. Jesus spoke and told him, man, bread, shoot. Jesus spoke in the word of God saying that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. You see, Jesus used the word of God to resist the devil as well as to be strengthened. Jesus in the Bible, in the Gospels, is showing us how to live and be the best we can be. When Jesus spoke these words, if you read that scripture, they said the angels came and ministered unto him. You know, you got to call out to God for help, not when all hell and broke loose and nothing seemed right in you, and God is so messed up it'll take so long to straighten it up. In all things, through prayer and supplication, make your request known unto God first. God shouldn't be your last course of action. First. You see, even when Satan tempted Jesus, he knew that he knew that Jesus was weak, but his physical was weak after fasting. But you see, if you fast right and pray right while you fasting, your physical may be weak, but your spirit is going to be strong. See, Satan didn't really get that part. So when he came to Jesus, you know, half-cocked and you know, coming to him that way, he didn't realize where Jesus was. He only thought the fasting would make him weak, but forgot about the praying and being alone with the Father had made him so strong. We're going to read the 28th and the 29th verse, the 30th and the 31st at this time. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, now Jesus and God in the water, the boat, you know, the waves was running up. They got scared, and Jesus is still walking to them, and he told them, be not afraid. But the storm is still going on at that time. And Peter answered him and said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come into thee on the water. And Jesus said, come on. And when Peter had come down out of the ship, Peter walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? You see, treat Peter was not putting Jesus to the test or trying to tempt him. Because, you know, we have a lot of people that do that. You know, we shouldn't tempt God. God, I'm going to do this and I'm going to see if you're going to come through. See, that's what Satan wanted Jesus to do. He said, because, you know, the word of God say, you know, God is always going to be with you and never leave you and never forsake you. You know, and trying to get him to tempt God, like, you know, you better come now. We not in control of time. We can't tell God when and where and how, but we know it's going to be all right. Sometime God come and wait a while till you could learn a lesson, that you could grow and be matured. And sometime, you know, you ask God for things. Sometime it's really no, because you're not asking and lining it up with the will of God. And sometime it's not denied, but it's delayed. And sometimes, you know, God say when you get ready for it. But he wasn't trying to tempt Jesus. Instead, he was the only one on a boat to react in faith. His impulsive request led him to experience a rather unusual demonstration of God's power. How many of us walk out on faith and experience a rather unusual demonstration of God's power? Come on now, this is what the word is showing us. When Peter did that, he's telling you that's what you do. Walk out on faith. Read the word, and when you read the word, you ask God, what are you saying to me? What lesson are you trying to get me to learn? What should I take from this and put it in my life that I may be all that you designed for me to be? Peter asked, could he come? And another thing, Peter asked, Jesus, can I come to you? What the Bible teaches us, those who have not. Because they ask not. That's a lesson right there. Here, another thing. When Peter asked, would you God, Jesus told him, come on. His impulsive request led him to experience a rather unusual demonstration of God's power. Plenty of people don't know the power of God and don't know how God want to do what God want to do for them because they don't walk in faith. Peter started to sink because he took his eyes off of Jesus and focused on the high waves around him. Don't take your eyes off of Jesus. You see, his faith wavered when he realized what he was doing. We may never get to walk on water, but we do walk through situations. Plenty of times you think you're going through. I have good news for you. God say you're not going through. You're going through what I have for you over there. So we ain't going to walk on water, but we do walk through. And we do walk through with him because he says I'm in front of you, behind you, on the side of you. I'm over you. I'm beneath you. Hallelujah. I done sealed you. The Holy Ghost sealed you when you accepted Christ as your Savior. The Holy Ghost is living inside of you. And Jesus said, when I go back and ascend into heaven and sit at the right hand of my Father, I'm going to leave you a comforter and you won't be comfortless. He's saying he's going to do everything for you that I would have done for you if I was still there. You're never alone. You're never alone. Realize it. Respect it. Use it. Enjoy it. Rest in it. If we only focus on the difficult circumstances around us without looking to Jesus for help, we may be in despair and sometimes sink. The only way to maintain your faith in difficult situations is to keep your eyes on Jesus' power rather than your inadequacies. Remember, Jesus is the author and the finisher of your faith. And now we go on to the last verses. Verses 32, 33, 34, 35. And 36, and it reads as follows. And when they were coming to the ship, Peter and Jesus, they're talking about, the wind ceased. Then they that was in the ship came and worshiped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. Now, you see, they say, when they who was on the ship, you see, you might not realize it, but if you study, you will learn that that ship was a rented ship. In other words, excuse, it might be like our modern ferry boats, where you get in a boat and you go to the other side. So it's a possibility that there were others on the boat because they said, then they that were in the ship came and worshiped him. You see, God, Jesus would have knew. You know, if there were other people on the ship, Jesus wanted them to see his power. He wanted them to see what he was working with. Come on now. And they wanted them to realize who he truly was. You see, and they came and they worshiped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret, something like that, y'all. And when the men of the place had knowledge of him, they went out into all that country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased. Now, he got on the other side, and they had people had knowledge of him, so they saw when he got there, they went and gathered everybody up in a whole, all that country around about, in that country. And they besought him that they might only touch, hallelujah, the hem of his garment. And then look what the scripture says. And as many as touch were made perfectly whole. When Jesus and Peter got on the boat, the wind ceased, and all that was on the boat came and worshiped him. They recognized that he was the Son of God, and when they arrived in a land, the men that had knowledge of him, you know, they got all of the people and together. For the believed that if they could only touch the hem of his garment. That's faith. But watch this. The people, they say the men who had knowledge. So the people recognized Jesus. But watch this. They recognized him as a great healer. And many touched him, were healed. But how many truly understood who he truly was? You see, they came to Jesus for physical healing, but wasn't as concerned about their spiritual healing. Come on now. Do you know people like that? People all on the TV every now and then, every chance they get, they make a touchdown, they make a sign of a cross, and they know him, and they think they gave him power to get. To get what? We got to get our soul saved. We got to get a spiritual blessing. But you see, they knew him as a healer, but they truly didn't understand who he truly was. They came to Jesus for physical healing, but wasn't concerned about their spiritual healing. Many people look at Jesus for things that will prolong their lives on earth or making a living in this world more enjoyable, but they neglect the necessary things to secure their eternal life. You know, God said, hallelujah, thank you, Holy Ghost, God said he's going to make everything perfect in his own time. He didn't say some things. He said everything, but it's in his own time. Healing. First of all, Jesus healed. And he did a lot of healing, but everybody wasn't healed. There's a lot of Christians that don't necessarily get healed. Come on, y'all. But God said he's going to make everything perfect in his own time. You know, some of the things we're going to have to wait and receive it on the other side. Because no matter what we die with, no matter what condition our body is in, no matter what we have gone through, we could have been burned in a fire and all of our skin would have been burnt in this life and we die. But when Jesus comes back in the twinkling of an eye and he takes us up with him, we're going to take off this corruptible body, this flesh, and we're going to put on incorruptible, which is going to have so much glory, it's going to be hard for you to see it. Come on, y'all. All of the healings and the blessing is not for you to receive here. But if the scripture says that God is going to make everything beautiful and perfect in his time, and I'm not saying don't pray for healing, you know, and pray for everything that you want. Because when you pray, you're talking to God, and your prayer is your prayer. But I want you to know when you see these scriptures and he say they was worrying about the physical healing, but they wasn't worrying about their spiritual healing. And then if we look a little bit further in Matthew's, you know, the 6th chapter, which was before the 14th, but it says 6th chapter, 33rd verse, it said, this is what Jesus is saying, besides all he said to us tonight. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He's saying, all these things shall be added unto you. God already promised to take care of your need. He was taking care of your need before you even knew him. And so before you knew him, and before you got saved and DC in your life before Christ, God took care of you. What more you think he'll do for you after you done learned, accepted, received, repented, and loving on God? What you think he's going to do for you then? Come on now. God say, I own everything. The earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof, the world and everything dwell in. And he said, what sense would it make for me to withhold anything from my children? He said, if an earthly father who has a sin nature take care of his children and provide for his children, I'm talking about a good father now, not none of them sperm donors, and they provide for their children, he said, what more you think I'll do? He said, you are my child. Trust him. Seek him. Find him. Love on him. And allow him to love on you. You know, there are so many people who know of Jesus and God, but they never get to know the Christ. Hallelujah. The Christ, the risen Savior. They know of Jesus, but they never get to know the Christ. You see, it is our job to study and pray and to truly know him for ourselves. Because in the Bible, 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study to show thyself approved unto God. You got to study for yourself. I tell you all the time, this Bible study is not a substitution of church. And I tell you all the time, this is not my Bible study. And God instructed me to start having you to read the scriptures. I don't know who read and who don't read. And it's not my job to make you read. It's not my job to make you study. My job is to give you the information that God has given to me to give to you and for me to keep it moving. God is in total control. I'm only a vessel. And I tell you all the time, I can only give you information. And it's the Holy Ghost that gives all illumination and revelation. And the Holy Ghost is ready and willing and able for each one of us to grow in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Why would he stop us? But you got to put in the work. And I'm going to close with this. People often want us for what they want us for. See, the people in the scripture tonight, when Jesus got to the other side, they wanted him for healing, you know. They want us sometime wanted him for to see a miracle. They wanted him to turn water into wine. Come on now, y'all. You know, they wanted him, but they wanted him for what they wanted him for. And that's what happened in our lives. People often want us for what they want us for. Some never get to know us for who we truly are because they're only interested in what they want. And you see, if you're not careful, you can try to become everything for everybody. And you see, it would be easy and it is easy to do that when you're trying to be everything for everybody because you probably don't know who you are. And in a sense, you may be searching. That's why there's so many people in the world today looking for love in all the wrong places because they don't know who they are. I'm going to tell you this as I get ready to close. God has designed it that you will never know who you truly are until you truly know who you make, who your maker is. Using the world standards as a guide is not going to get you to know who you are. You have to let the Holy Ghost become your guide. And this I can guarantee you, that he will take you to places you never dreamed of. And that's a fact. And he promised that the retirement after this world that he has for you is really out of this world. God has a specific plan for all of our lives. And that plan has a specific reason in a specific season. But we got to wait on him. And we have to be in position to receive what he has in store for us. Allow the Holy Spirit to mold and shape you into what God has intended for you to become. Because that's when your light is going to shine as pure gold. That's when you're going to be been tried in a fire and come out as pure gold. Get in position to receive all that God has for you. And then he will get the glory. And that's what he did. He created us for his glory. And God's going to get his glory one way or another, because that's a part of his master plan. You know, there's a record that Paul Martin wrote that, "Please, Lord, whatever you're doing in this season, don't do it without me." You know, that should be, you know, a part of how we feel about, you know, the different stages of life. If you watch the hand of God, you'll see. If you open up your ears, you'll hear. It depends on you. And even through all of that, God still loves you. He said he'll never leave you. But I encourage each and every one of you, keep your eyes on Jesus. And that's the lesson tonight. And if anybody would like to pray, you could press the one button on your phone, and I'll open the mic and you'll be able to read it, able to pray. You might have a prayer request. You might want to make a comment. If you would like to do anything, you could press the one button on your phone. If not, I'll go ahead and pray and have a little benediction. Okay, I have a caller. Caller, your number is 905-79. Your mic is open.
Hello?
Yes.
Hi, good evening.
Good evening, everyone. Good evening.
Hi, how y'all making out this evening? I'm Pamela, and this is my first night actually listening in. And I don't believe in, you know, like coincidence. I just feel like this is what the Lord wanted me to be this evening studying with you. And I thank you, Ms. Diana. Thank God. And I just wanted to say thank you. And I did have a couple of people that I hope that everyone would pray for. A lady, a Hispanic lady that I met the other night, named Ms. Rena.
Rena, R-E-N-A.
L-E-N-A.
Lena,
and,
okay.
Uh-huh. And a young lady who told me that she had a newborn baby that was fighting for a life that was only a pound, named Miracle.
Okay.
Yeah, those two people. And I just wanted to say thank you and, you know, give honor to God, because I just don't believe in coincidence. I know that this is where he wanted to be me to be in this moment now, because usually I'm knocked out sleep by 8 o'clock, and I don't even feel tired. I really feel inspired. And I'm keeping my eye on God, and I must make sure that I tune in next Wednesday. And I thank you again, Ms. Diane, so very much. Thank y'all, and love y'all so much for letting me speak.
Thank you so much, Sister Pam. I've known her for a very, very long time, but I was able to be in her presence on last week, and some kind of way we got talking about the goodness of God. And then I invited her to join in with us. And I'm so elated that, and so excited that you did call in. I thank you for pressing the mic and making a comment. And we're going to take in consideration Miracle and Lena as we pray. If anyone else would like to say anything, you could say it at this time. Otherwise, I'm going to go ahead and close, because it's now the 9:30 hour. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, Heavenly Father, I'm thanking you right now in the mighty name of Jesus for the word that you allow to go forth on tonight. Lord, I pray that that word will not return void. And Lord, I thank you for allowing us to be together again. Heavenly Father, the prayer line and the prayer list is growing more and more each day. That's just letting us know that we need to be praying, dear God, one for another. But, Lord, I'm asking you to look down on the little baby Miracle. You say it in Psalms 139 that you formed all of us in our mother's womb, and you put our inner parts in there, dear God. So I know that you have a specific purpose for a little baby Miracle, and if it's your will, it's going to be done. Your will is what's going to be done, dear God. And I ask that you look down upon Lena and bless her and the blessings that she's in need of, dear God. Lord, please help us as we go through. Lord, as we end the program tonight, I ask that you be with each and every person. I pray that you bless them from the tip of their head to the tip of their toes, dear God. And I ask that you give them the finances they need, dear God, and heal their bodies, and hallelujah, and regulate their mind, dear God, and situate their home, dear God, and give them peace, dear God, and increase their faith, dear God. These all of the things that people call week after week, and having a desire to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And you say if we seek you, you'll be found, dear God. So we're going to just lean and hold on to your unchanging hand and believe that it is all good. We can say out of our mouth, dear God, no matter what the situation looked like, because we with you, dear God, because you with us, dear God, because the Holy Ghost is living inside of us, we can say it is well. Heavenly Father, I thank you for everything that went forward on the night. In Jesus' name, I pray, and I pray, and I pray. Lord, I just want to thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, callers, for calling in. Thanks for allowing us to be able to meet on Wednesday night, you know. Like Sister Pam said, you know, it's like God ordained this, you know what I'm saying? And I just feel good. I feel elated about it. And I love each and every one of you, and God loves you too. And that's our program for tonight. And if God says the same, we'll meet back on next Wednesday, same time, same station. I'm just telling you, go out and be blessed, but also be a blessing to someone else. And I have one more person I didn't name. I think I named it in the front part. But we have a sister in Christ that's going through. Her name is Sister Elise. And when y'all pray one for another, that's why I always give the names. Call a person's name out when you pray. And I pray that you do that. But that's our program for tonight. I love you. And I'm going to miss you till Wednesday. And if the Lord say the same, we're going to meet back up in Jesus' name. Amen. And thank God. Good night, everybody, and be blessed.